Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín, allá donde se encuentra.
Good evening. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, where he is at. And also to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication through Internet. On this occasion today, Friday, August 2nd of this year 2024, where our subject is the importance of worship. Let us search in our Bibles, the sacred scriptures. In Psalm 69, verse 30 and on, where this Psalm of King David says, I will praise the name of God with a song. Next to it, he writes, name. And I will magnify him with thanksgiving. And he writes, songs. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. And your heart shall live that seek God. And there he draws Star of David to the right. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heavens and earth praise him, the seas, and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there, and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. The importance of worship. You may please be seated. This message was preached Sunday, August 18, 2013, here in Cayey, Puerto Rico. And the scripture he used was Colossians 3:16-17. That is the scripture that Dr. William Soto Santiago used in this message, which we will be seeing and hearing on this occasion, for which we read here a portion of this message, the Divine Counsel, which was preached on May 24, 1987, here in Puerto Rico, Cayey. It says, the second coming of the Son of Man, of the Lord, Emmanuel, the Word made flesh, riding upon the power of the pure Word, of the Word without dogmas, creeds, and traditions. In other words, that in His second coming, where He would be operating the ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, it would not be a denomination, which in the book of quotations, it tells us on page 129 on the book of quotations, paragraph 1149, where it tells us from the seventh angels, messenger of the seventh seal, seventh angel's message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. What is Revelation 10? The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. And there he writes, the seventh seal equals is Revelation 10. To the seven trumpets between those two times. Oh God, how can we say this to make the people see it? It's between that sixth trumpet and the sixth trumpet, and the sixth trumpet and the sixth seal sound at the same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine. And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appear to the Jews to send them to Jesus, while the church is being taken up. And there a small cornerstone to the left where it says taken up. All of them, prophets, amen, The word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. And there on it won't be a denomination. He writes Moses and Elijah. And to the left also draws under the little cornerstone, he draws a Star of David. And upward he writes, it won't be a denomination. Now, let us stop there for a moment. Notice in the Book of the Ages, on page, the edited Book of the Ages, page 300, let us see here, page 325, on this book. Here I have another book in Spanish. To have this that he wrote here, which is very important. On this one is the book in Spanish, 364. And on the other one, in Spanish as well, is a red one. It will be further on. Just a little further on. In the red one would be 368. It says, where that paragraph begins there, page 325. Because notice what we read here, this portion, on 1149 of the Book of Quotations, it says that, and between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles, to call the people back to the original Pentecostal doctrine, and the two witnesses, there the coming of the Lord appears. But notice on this paragraph, on this page 325, he says, in the ministry of John, the hearts of the fathers were turned to the children. We know that because Jesus said so. But it does not say that the hearts of the children were turned to the fathers. That is yet to take place. The heart of the last day children will be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. And he writes on the left, the rapture in faith. John got the fathers ready for Jesus to welcome the children into the fold. And to the left, there he writes, the thunders. Now, this prophet upon whom the spirit of Elijah falls will prepare the children to welcome back Jesus. And to the left, on this Book of the Ages, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow, where it says to welcome, from there toward the cornerstone, and prepare the children to welcome back Jesus, therein children, an arrow towards the cornerstone and another arrow toward that breach between the seventh age and the age of the cornerstone. And in this other one, in this other blue one, that would be the second book that he has, it says, now this prophet upon whom the spirit of Elijah falls will prepare the children to welcome back Jesus. And after Jesus, on this one he writes, to receive him, his church, in the eternal age. And to the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he only divides the seventh age. And in this other one, the red one, there he writes, they will welcome Jesus upwards on the right side. They will welcome Jesus. And he also writes at the end where it says, we'll prepare the children to welcome back Jesus. There he writes, in Moses and Elijah. Now notice that the coming of the Lord, which is the seventh seal, which is Revelation 10, is Moses and Elijah with the ministry of Jesus. Do you see how it's all the same? Because what the seventh trumpet is to Israel is the seventh seal to the church. And notice, in the quote that we are reading, the 1149 on page 129, he says there that then, he says, and between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles to call the people back to their original Pentecostal doctrine and will prepare the children to welcome back Jesus. And he says, with Moses and Elijah. And he says there, and the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appear to the Jews to send them to Jesus while the church is being taken up. All of them prophets, amen, the word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. There he writes, Moses and Elijah. Now let us continue here where we stopped. Do you see it? Read in your books here and see if that between the sixth and seventh trumpet is it injected in there. Let the Jews being called out between the sixth and seventh plague. We come over to that 144,000. You remember that? Which was between that. Do you remember? Between the sixth, the fifth seal and the sixth seal. Between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, there was a calling out of the 144,000. You remember that? Now, there is where these trumpets come in right there. And above he writes, the call to the Jews equals, it's between the sixth and seventh seal, and between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Now notice what he shows us there, that after the fourth Elijah, who is the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, prophet messenger of the seventh age, named Reverend William Marion Branham from North America. After he prepared with his message what is to come, and what would come after him? The fulfillment of what he foreshadowed. Revelation 11, which is Jesus, and he writes there to the side with Moses and Elijah. Because the Son of Man comes with his angels. Now let us continue here in the message, the Divine Council, where we stopped, it says, writing upon the message of great voice of the trumpet, the message of the end time, the message of the third dispensation. That is the rider of the white as snow horse with a name written that no one understood but he himself. In the Book of the Seals, on page 151, it tells us, and Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer Jesus. When he was on earth, he was the Redeemer, that's true. But when he conquered death and hell, and overcome them, and ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do, and they don't get nothing. You'll be revealed in the thunders. See, notice the mysteries. He is coming, writing. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. Notice. No man knowed but himself. Now notice, no man knowed but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. There he writes Revelation 14:14-20. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There comes the Messiah. There he is. In other words, what is coming? The Holy Spirit is coming. the Messiah, the Anointed One. And there is where the fulfillment of His coming is, which on page 318 on the Book of the Seals, it tells us in this message, it says, may the Holy Spirit come down now, the white horse rider, while His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, in the face of Antichrist, and call His own. Now, notice here, that white horse rider comes in the power of the pure word with a new name. Now, our brother William tells us, don't try to understand it by your own reasoning. Let him, after he receives the divine command, make it understood the way it should be understood. And since he will be only one who will understand it, because it says that only he understood it. So, there can be no suppositions regarding the rider of the white as snow horse. There can be no suppositions regarding the name of the Word of God. We saw that in the Book of the Ages, on page 318, on this version, on Spanish, on the Red Book, is 360. And I will write my new name upon him, my new name. When all becomes new, then he will take upon him a new name. And that name will be the name of the bride also. What that name is, no one dare conjecture. It would have to be a revelation of the Spirit. Now, how will the church bride comprehend, understand the coming of the Lord with a new name? Because she will have the Holy Spirit in her midst. That is what he is telling us there, that the church bride at the end time would have the Holy Spirit. In other words, at this end time, what we are seeing in the midst of the church is the Holy Spirit bringing the revelation, which is contained in the thunders, thus giving the rapturing faith to the elect of God. In other words, now, when we speak of all these scriptures, where the Reverend William Branham is showing here, and also in the messages of Brother William, what the fulfillment of the tenth vision would be, the fulfillment of the third pool, now at this end time, by seeing the fulfillment of what they prophesied, what they brought us in the messages, that revelation of what He would be in His coming. Now we can say, thank you, Holy Spirit. In other words, thank you, Angel of the Covenant, because you are revealing to us the mysteries which each one of us needed in order to be transformed and to be raptured. Because without the revelation of the thunders, the church bride could not be transformed and raptured, nor could the dead in Christ be resurrected. Therefore, the revelation of the Holy Spirit was required in the midst of His church, which they, the bride, were waiting for. And that revelation, notice, he tells us here, it would have to be a revelation of the Spirit. There he draws an arrow toward a drawing that he made of the cornerstone and the ages in this blue book of the ages. And he also writes there a little arrow, and he writes, by a prophet. In other words, the Holy Spirit in a prophet, which we read on page 331, about that Holy Spirit who would come incarnate in a man. Now notice that is what the church bride would be receiving at this end time, which is then a reality in the midst of the church. It is the fulfillment of what they spoke, prophesied. That is what we are seeing in this end time, in the fulfillment of the third pool, in that manifestation, under the tent, under that ministry that God is operating at this end time, the ministries of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And here, before continuing, also in this other book of the ages, here he also tells us in other words, our brother William writes to us, it says there, it would have to be a revelation of the Spirit. There to the left, he also writes Revelation 7 verse 2, 14 verse 1, and 22 verse 4. He continues to say, it would have to be a revelation. It would have to be a revelation of the Spirit given so conclusively that no one would dare deny it. But no doubt, he will leave that revelation to the day when he desires to give that name forth. Suffices to know that it will be more wonderful than we could ever imagine. In this one he writes, in the red one he writes, everything new. He wrote it upward on the left side. And below there in that paragraph he writes, the new name of the Lord. Now notice how he showed the name in his first coming with the appearance of the fulfillment of the veil of flesh where the first coming of the Lord was being fulfilled. In other words, he will leave that revelation to the day when he desires to give that name forth. Because when a person appears somewhere and they go and see who came, when the person arrives, right away they look and say, ah, it's so-and-so. In other words, that person is named so-and-so. Therefore, with the presence of that person, now the rest can find out that his name is so-and-so. Notice, in the first coming of the Lord, he came as Lamb of God to carry out his work of redemption with the name Jesus. And the name Jesus had to do with the work that he would be carrying out. And in his second coming, he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has come in the midst of his church with a new name. Now, Brother William here, look, here he continues to say, there can be no supposition regarding the name of the Word of God, for any supposition takes the person out of what's right. In other words, you cannot guess, because then, if you start questioning and guessing, those conjectures take the person out of what's right. It must be by divine revelation. He goes on to say, it is necessary that we follow God's counsel. God's counsel is, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon you transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. Exodus 23:21. In clearer words, I will be the enemy of the pale horse rider, whose name is Death, and hell follows him, along with all those who follow him. I will be the enemy of that rider and of all those who follow him. Those who follow that pale horse rider. In other words, if you hear his voice, the voice of the mighty angel, the voice of God at this end time, and do all that I speak to you, notice, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Now notice the importance at this end time of receiving, of hearing, of obeying that voice of God. And thus, escaping the judgments that will come in the great tribulation and to stand before the Son of Man. Now notice what he tells us here in the book of quotations, page 77. From paragraph 666, it says, the saints are sleeping, waiting, 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 waiting. See? Until this age. But soon the Holy Ghost, being poured out from Christ, will come and will seal up the church. Then the church will be raptured. There once again we see the Holy Spirit coming to His church. When this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate, in other words, notice, pouring out Himself into His church, which from age to age came in a portion. And now here, when He reaches up to that age, the age of the cornerstone, then there that Holy Spirit is poured out. And with that manifestation, He will seal the church and the 144,000, all of that before the Great Tribulation. 154 of the Book of the Seals. Notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There He writes, the Holy Spirit incarnate. Because notice, a spirit cannot be crowned, and it must become incarnate. Just like the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of the devil. Notice that further down it says, He became a man, and then they crowned Him. And there He writes, the Antichrist crowned. See, just as the Holy Spirit is crowned, the spirit of the Antichrist is also crowned. Now here, in this paragraph that we are reading, will come and will seal up the church. Then the church will be raptured. To the right, He draws a cornerstone and the ages and an eye. There. Inside the cornerstone. And He writes above that paragraph, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And on page 76, on paragraph 646, it says, and Lord, wouldn't that be a great crown for the Word, to see the crown itself come, that is the Holy Spirit. I like to be standing here and say, there He is, that's the Lamb, like John did. Behold the Lamb that we have waited on. This is He. The Lord will quickly come to His temple. And He writes, church, take away His people in a rapture. And to the right He writes upward, the capstone. And above that paragraph He writes, the Lord will come to His temple. And it is in His temple, in the stage of the most holy place, in the age of the cornerstone, where the church is receiving that rapturing faith, that translation faith, where the revival that was promised for the church bride is being carried out in the midst of the people of God. And thus, the people would be revived and would be joyful. And through that revival, which is being given to them by the thunders. Page 123 of the Book of the Seals. It says, and then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There is something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that, after a while, the Lord willing, find where it's written. And on page 243, it tells us, the bride hasn't had a revival yet, see? There's been no revival there. No manifestation of God to steer the bride yet, see? We're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. Yep, He'll send it, He promised it. Now, she was dead. And now, if the churches would forget their creeds and forget their dogmas and just take the Bible, plead the promise, then it would come effective to them. And there He writes the coming of the Lord on top of that. But see, Jesus said, you, with your traditions, make the Word of God not effective to you. Well, that's the same thing today with spiritual Eve, see, the spiritual bride of today, so-called the church. She takes the Word of God and she won't accept it, and she accepts dogmas instead. Therefore, the Word is not effective to her, see, because she tries to inject her creed with the Word and it won't work. Now notice, how the bride would be receiving at this end time that revival that the thunders would bring, and thus that would shake her, would revive her, in order to obtain that rapturing faith. And there we can see the importance of worship, which we sing to the Lord, we praise God with psalms and spiritual songs. And in the activities, we give our part to God, our worship, and thus He then gives us of His Word. Our part in the activities is to pray to God, to have fellowship with God, in the stillness of the Spirit, in prayer. Then in the worship, we give Him praise. We praise Him and glorify His name. And then we receive His Word. All in order. Because notice, in the 10th vision, the Reverend William Branham was shown that it was not the way it was done in that 7th age, clapping their hands or any of that in the worship. Rather, it was all done in stillness. That is the great difference in between the members of the Church of the Lord of the Age of the Cornerstone and Dispensation of the Kingdom. Notice, because there is a divine order for that worship to be accepted. Because if you are not under that divine order and under that manifestation, under the obedience of that scripture that we talk about there, which our brother William read to us, of Exodus chapter 23, verse 21. And you don't provoke. Notice, we must be obedient. We must hear the voice. And you must do everything He tells you. Which then notice, it says there that He will be an enemy of those enemies. Because notice, otherwise it says, for He will not pardon your transgressions. And in that stage in which Brother Branham was looking at everything that the Holy Spirit was carrying out in the midst of His church, notice that there was a way of which it was not done in the ages. Therefore, a way, a manner, was already being established by that ministry. Because they were there already in a new age and a new dispensation. And it was different from the way it was done under the dispensation of grace. Those are details where everything is being shown and put in order. As that stage of the fulfillment of the 10th vision was seen by our brother Branham. Let us just read that part there, where he shows us that it was softly, quietly. Notice on page 25, paragraph 211, it says, and it's been told me some time ago by a vision that the Lord gave me some years ago. I suppose, or maybe a little more, I have it wrote out in a book at home of a changing of ministry. And then some time ago, I was in a vision and I saw a large tent. Oh, it was a mammoth, big affair. And I had just been speaking and many souls were at the altar and were just kind of weeping with their hands up quietly and softly. Notice, and there, he says, our brother William writes, it was not the denominational Pentecostal style. Why wasn't it the Pentecostal and denominational style? Because the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, as we read there in paragraph 1149, he says it would not be a denomination. It would be outside of the ages. It would be outside of the dispensation of grace, which when the messengers left, they denominationalized themselves. Instead, it was a stage higher above, which is the cornerstone, the dispensation of the kingdom, and it would not be a denomination, Moses and Elijah. And since those ministries are in the midst of the church, he would not allow them to be denominationalized. So, it was not the denominational Pentecostal style. He wrote that there. It was all quietly and softly, with much reverence. Reverently. Now notice, all quietly and softly, with much reverence. Reverently. Notice, that is being established by the people of God. Until that stage is reached where everything was already established, everything was in order, in all the places where they were receiving that manifestation, whether through audio, satellite, internet. Because just as he said, have everything ready so that when that stage comes, everyone is connected and receiving everything that would be preached in that place. And if that ministry has to go out, then it would be broadcasted from other places as well. And everyone would be listening to that ministry, which would be carrying out those preaching in each place. Because notice that everything was going to begin progressively with preaching. And under that preachings, and under that ministry, all the other stages pertaining to the fulfillment of the tenth vision would be interlacing there. Everything is making history at the moment. Because it wasn't written, there was nothing to base yourself on, so that the devil could not imitate. Now notice, we have seen in these portions like this, everything that God is carrying out. In other words, the reality of what was spoken by the Reverend William Branham, and by the messages of our beloved brother William Soto Santiago. We have been seeing the fulfillment of what they spoke. In other words, we are in the reality of the fulfillment of the scriptures. The importance of worship. Let us stand, and thus leave with this topic, the importance of worship, our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.